celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
I believe Ladybug back on the phones today. Is she talking to other dogs? What is she doing on the phones? Do you know?
She doesn't tell me.
She's not ringing up long-distance charges, is she?
You know what? I was wondering why our phone bill was double last month.
You should check into that. She's a smart dog.
Yep.
She's blowing a silent whistle.
That's good on so many levels. Joey Villani, what are you working on today? What are we going to hear out of your mouth?
Well, how dangerous are mats on your pet? I mean, they just make your pet look crappy, or can it really injure your pet?
Well, they can't be dangerous. I imagine it's all cosmetic, right? Or do I got to wait?
You got to wait, Hal.
You got to wait because, yeah, it's not as good as you think.
That's why they call it a tease. This hour, we have our last hero in our hero segment series. It's come to an end after 26 weeks. Wow. That's a lot of heroes there.
Yes, there were.
This lady was driving along the highway, and she saw a cat go flying across her window, and she's going to tell us her story.
Gosh.
Hey, Doug, how are you doing?
Hey, doing great.
Where are you calling from today?
North Carolina.
Okay.
I'm originally from the Bay Area, but I've lived here for a long time.
Well, how can we help you? I got the whole team here for you.
Oh, wow. Okay, let's see. We've got a 1-year-old Jack Russell that we're sitting for his owner, who will be back in July, and we'll probably see him again from time to time and take care of him. And I think he's got some separation anxiety. I'm not an expert, but when he came to us, we weren't able to really have him obey or do any simple tasks, even sit. He didn't even know how to sit. Trying to figure out how to help him maybe calm down. We know he's a highly energetic dog anyway, very loving dog, but he doesn't know his boundaries, and he has problems with barking at night if he's not right in the room with somebody.
Okay. So is he doing anything else besides the barking? Any other behaviors that are abnormal?
Yeah, well, he has chewed up a few things. He did chew one of his toys up much faster than he normally would. He hasn't really chewed on things like furniture or tore up anything of ours.
Okay. Have you left him alone and gone places?
Yep.
Okay, what's he done when you've left him alone?
Basically, as soon as his owner instructed us to put him in his cage, which is about 3 feet by 2 feet maybe.
Okay.
And he'll be fine. You know, he'll go in there on his own. He'll be fine until we leave the room, and then he'll start to yip, and then a little bit soon he'll bark, and we can hear him from outside as we have to go to work or go somewhere where we can't take him.
Okay. And is he having any accidents? Is he pottying in the kennel when he's being left alone?
Not in the kennel as far as we can tell, but he's just had one accident where he piddled on the floor, but it wasn't anything big.
Okay. And you said he's a year old, is that correct?
Yeah, he's a year old.
A year old. Okay. So when his parents brought him to you and said, hey, can you watch my baby, did they say that he had separation anxiety or any other kind of problems?
No, not at all.
Okay.
He's very friendly. He'll go to his cage, and he won't bark at all at night. He'll go right to his cage and go to sleep, and he'll be fine all night. That's what he said.
Okay. So he's good in the kennel all night long?
Well, when the first two nights, we didn't get a lot of sleep.
Okay.
He barked all night long, even when he was in the next room, and we would go out and calm him down, and he'd be okay for 10 minutes or so, and then he'd bark again.
Okay. So is that kind of what his norm is, what his patterns are? That's what I'm trying to get at. As far as his family, the dog normally sleeps in his kennel at night, and that's not a problem in the home setting?
We're not sure if he sleeps in his kennel at night or if he sleeps with his owner, which we have allergies, so that's not an option for us. But we're not clear. The owner didn't, before leaving the country, we had 2 days before he left, and we kind of got him on short notice.
Okay, so that's going to kind of muddy the waters here a little bit, because we have a couple unknowns. We need to know what this dog's norm is. If he normally sleeps in the kennel, and that's his norm, and he does that reliably, then he certainly could be having anxiety and separation anxiety from his pet owner. Now, if he normally is accustomed to sleeping in bed with them, he could also just be reacting to being confined. And there are dogs that definitely, when you change the rules on them, they'll have confinement anxiety just for, you know, being in a small area and not being able to get out. So this is a little bit challenging, and I'm not real certain how I can advise you on this because, you know, obviously if we knew he was a bed sleeper, I'd say, gosh, you know, we're trying to change the rules on him, and that's going to be a very hard thing to do in the time frame you have him. As far as a couple things I can advise is when we do have a dog that is having challenges sleeping through the night in a kennel or acclimating to a new arrangement, new home, some basic things that we'll try doing. One is ramp up the activity level of this little guy. And Jack Russells, you know, they're made for, like, endurance. So as much as we may think that we could tire him out, we need to go beyond that. But getting him physically exhausted and really just kind of working off that energy during the day hours will help him to settle in at night and be more comfortable in his surroundings, even if they are unfamiliar.
He doesn't do well with a leash either. It's like he's in like a wild horse.
Oh, jeez. Okay. So clearly this guy needs a little training, and it is not going to be necessarily your job nor your ability to train him in the short time you have him. I think we're just trying to find a solution for kind of the short term for everyone's sake. So if that physical activity means throwing a ball, it may mean even some dogs will do laser pointers and have fun chasing those around. Or throwing multiple toys where you can switch out. So if he doesn't like to retrieve, because not every dog likes that, you have a handful of different toys. You throw one to one side of the yard. He gets it, plays with it. Hey, then you got a new one. Hey, look at this one. And you throw it in the opposite end. You can still exercise him if he doesn't play those kind of normal games. So those would be, that's the number one thing, is wear this boy out as much as possible. The other things that I would do is, because we don't really have permission to use medications, we don't know his medical history, so that's all off the table. We can't even go there. So I would talk about some of the natural remedies, and some of those things might be things like pheromones, which I talk about all the time on this show, but I do believe in them. I've used them myself for my own pets, and they're the natural scent hormones that have a calming effect on dogs. And what I would certainly do is pick up one of those that's like kind of looks like an air freshener, a diffuser that goes into electrical outlet, and have it in the dog's kennel zone. So basically in the room where his kennel is at night, and that actually can help to calm him. If we can
what
put a
you call it?
Pheromone. It's spelled P-H-E-R.
Oh, pheromone, okay.
Yeah, pheromone. And so, and then we can also get that in a collar format if he's, you know, capable of wearing a collar. It's just kind of like a little, almost looks like a flea collar. But that's one natural thing that we can certainly do. Some of the other things are kind of, you know, actually music can be very calming for dogs. So there are audio tapes of doggy lullabies that you can put on at night, but even just some sounds of the ocean. If you have a sound machine or your alarm clock has that kind of feature on that, to let that run at night can actually give him something to kind of tune into other than for you, the barking, but also to kind of help relax him. And especially classical music, country music, and lullaby music, they have a repetitive rhythm that can actually be quite calming for dogs. So that would be something else.
I'm going to tell you, we did have success a few nights with playing classical music, and that was surprising to us that he really took to it, but it hasn't worked that night.
Yeah. And, you know, there's natural supplements and things as well. But like I said, you know, we don't know his history and what we can, you know, use in his situation. But I really think that, you know, the physical exercise is a big one. And then also, if he is fussing in the middle of the night and you're comfortable that he isn't in trouble or having problems, let him be. Because when you do go in there and he's barking and you kind of go in and you get him out, he's not learning to settle in. And if it sounds like if he did pretty good after those first two nights, then just need to let him kind of settle into things, get acclimated to your routine, and then you know, once he comes out of kennel and he's a good quiet boy, then you reward him, you know, give him, you know, approved treats and, you know, love and pets, and really try to positively reinforce that quiet behavior, which is a challenge. Sometimes Jack Russells are just always on fast forward.
Yeah. That's right. I wish we could bottle it.
Yes. Well, good luck with that. And you're doing a great thing taking care of this baby's friend. And I feel for you both in the situation here.
Thanks for your call today.
You're listening to Animal Radio. call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, it's Alan Cable. Here's a dog tip for you. You're at a dog park. You don't like letting your dog off the leash. You're not certain if your dog will obey you when you call him. But what the heck? You feel bad. You want him to run free. So you let him go. Everything's going great till this one dog shows up and your dog takes off. You try calling him, but he pays no attention to you. Now think about it. What's your next step? Is it frustration? Yelling? Do you walk towards the dog mad? Body all tense? Already knowing as soon as you get close, he's going to run away? The only thing you can think of is you got to get him by that collar. Okay, let's stop and look at this. Your dog's not listening. He doesn't respect you. Dogs respond when you're secure and confident, calm, when you act like a pack leader. Now, providing your dog already understands what it means when you say come, if you can approach him calmly and put him in the submissive position below you, give him a correction right then and there, bad dog, put him on a leash, great. But if you can't catch him, well, the odds are you're going to be frustrated. You got to fight that. Now, you probably shouldn't have let your dog off the leash because you knew to begin with he wouldn't listen to you. He wouldn't come when you called, but you did. So the point is, what do you do? What's your response? Turn the opposite way and start walking. Now, some dogs are not going to pay any attention and not care that you're gone. But most dogs are going to notice because you're walking away from them, the pack. You're giving them no attention, nothing. So what do you do when your dog does approach? Reprimand him for not listening the first time? Heck no. Every time your dog comes to you without being called and is close to you, praise him. Good boy. Because if you reprimand him when he comes to you, he's never going to want to come to you. He's going to associate it with unpleasantness. Well, every time I go over there, I get yelled at. Instead of, every time I'm near that other dog, well, I get some attention. You correct them when they're doing what you don't want. You praise them when they're doing what you do want. And when they're calm, just laying there, that's when you give them attention. When they're jumping around like freaks before a walk or when you just come home, pay no attention to them. Till they mellow out. You can even say that, mellow out. When he gives you that, you praise him. Teaching your dog to be mellow and calm, that's the way to go. That's when you give attention.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin three or more times per day or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. That's 800-785-1673.
Hey, this is Sean Hayes on Animal Radio. Remember to spay and neuter your pets.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating our connection with our pets, and we'll head back to the phones for your calls in just a second for Dr. Debbie and dog father Joey Volani. Judy just pulled this out of the newspaper. This is kind of an interesting story out of Michigan. An animal control worker was convinced he was looking at a young tiger laying in a driveway, so he approached with care and called the police. But when his co-worker approached from another direction, she realized there was nothing ferocious about the feline. Turns out it was a stuffed animal.
Oh, my gosh. I guess they're just making these stuffed animals real lifelike nowadays.
Let's take another one for the illustrious Dr. Debbie. And we have George on the phone. Hey, George, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Good. Where are you calling from today?
I'm in Huntington Beach, California.
Beautiful Los Angeles area. Thank you for listening to Animal Radio.
So, George, what can we help you with here today?
Dr. Debbie, I have a fat Siamese cat, and I'm standing next to her right now. When I come into the room, this is what she does. Did you hear that? Do it again. Well, you know, I feed her, and she's getting fat, and she's getting fatter, so I've cut her diet down to whenever she does this to me, which is quite often. I've got like a 2 tablespoon size cup, and I just take a little, I use this IAMS Proactive Health Indoor Weight Hairball Care. It's formula, and she gobbles it up. Then she goes around the carpet a few hours later, or maybe even a few minutes later, throws it up, and then comes back and says, meow.
Oh, poor dear. Now, how much does this kid weigh?
My gosh. You know, Siamese aren't that big. I think she weighs at least 12 pounds.
Yeah, that's a big Siamese, because a lot of female Siamese will be about 6, 7, even 8 pounds. So, yeah, that sounds a bit heavy. Okay, so she's very vocal, and then when she is vocal, you feed her. Is that pretty much what I'm getting?
Well, yeah. What am I supposed to do? Just let her meow till, you know, I can't stand it anymore?
Oh, gosh. You know what? Okay, here's some kitty tough love advice. Well, to some degree, Siamese will talk to you about anything and everything. And if she's learning the cue of talking to you gives me food, then that's a positive reward that she has just gotten for that. Now, some folks with Siamese love that verbal nature that they have, and they love to kind of chatter back and forth with their kitties. I am a little troubled, though, that this is rewarded by feeding in every instance, and we need to find a substitute action or behavior that we can reward, if you will, her talking to you, and find a different way that we can do feeding. So there are some ways, but it does take tough love, and I'm very serious about it, that you have to kind of get yourself out of the feeding equation. So for a kitty that is a real big demander of feeding, one strategy that I would work towards is to try to get her to utilize a timed feeder. And the idea with this is that we don't want her to cry and get food. We want her to learn that food will come from this magical box, and that it will come at set times, and meowing to dad isn't going to make this open up any sooner. So that takes time. So there are ways to kind of get her used to that. And there's some great time feeders that you can purchase online, pet stores and so forth, where you basically have a battery and then the little compartments open at preset times. This is a great tool for that cat that tries to wake you up in the middle of the night at 2, 3 a.m. Instead of getting up when they do this, you train them that they go to the feeder at that time, and it opens up on its own. So that way you take yourself out of that equation. You can sleep at night.
Right.
So
which
to get to that.
On top of me at night.
Oh, man. I know that. In there.
Well, we definitely don't want her to get too heavy, because that will make it difficult to sleep. Then,
yeah, and then if I move, she complains.
Oh, she's got you wrapped around her little paw. I can tell.
Oh, yeah.
Now, so some of the other things that I would say, working towards this idea of getting her to a time feeder, you can actually work on measuring her daily amount of her food in a container. So what we would want to do is to give her opportunities to work for her food, independent of you. So you might have to fill a little toy. There are nice little interactive toys where they're basically kind of little puzzles. So that's a very good way to kind of get her activity level up and to make her work for food. Because if you face it, indoor cats sit around on their butt and wait for us to serve them. So this will give her something to do, and to also kind of, get her off that couch and work for that food there. So.
Right. So how much food should I give her a day?
Oh, that's a great question. And the answer is I will usually refer people to the bag of the food that they're on, because every diet is a little bit different in the calorie content. So there's no way we can compare food 1, 2, or 3 to each other. For a cat that's overweight, by limiting the volume of food, you're also limiting the nutrients, and they'd be missing out on things and definitely can have some nutritional issues. So, that too, we might have to get her into a weight loss diet, one of maybe the high protein diets that kind of work like catkins, if you will, to help them lose lean weight. But usually if I've got an overweight cat, they're really, it's difficult to get cats to lose weight in general. It really is. It's hard. It's harder than me eating pizzas and drinking wine on the weekends. So I would consider getting her on a weight loss diet. Those are generally prescription foods. There's a lot of different companies that have those, and that might be one other thing that we can do to really get this girl to kind of trim down a little bit more.
Yeah, she's turning into a round ball.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I love the Siamese. They're very vocal. They can be very active and very athletic, too. So maybe if we can kind of get this gal leaned down a little bit, you know, you might see some more of that kittenhood come back.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. That's 800-475-3351.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Find us at animalradio.com. Log on, learn more.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. There is a new study out that took a look at how human brains react to seeing photos of children and our pets. And it's really interesting. After studying pictures of the brain while participants looked at the pictures, researchers found the brain activity of humans is strikingly similar, but there are a couple of differences. Like they say, the area of our brain which represents the human-to-human bond was not activated by pets in that case. Interesting that so far researchers have only studied the relationship between dogs and their human mothers, and relationships with humans and cats have yet to be studied. Well, Lady Gaga showed us certainly that her talents go far beyond music and her outlandish outfits. And as it turns out, Lady Gaga has even more surprises up her sleeve. We hear she is working on a line of pet products inspired by her dog, Asia. Gaga will be the artistic director for this canine collection that we're referring to, which will feature pet clothing and accessories, toys, and food bowls, too.
See, maybe Lady Gaga can make that all meat costume like she wore for pets, so it could be a treat as well. You know, you could put it on your pet, and then they can have a treat.
To purpose.
I'm Lori Brooks. You can always get more breaking animal news anytime online at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Now, Steven Tyler, a big chinchilla lover. He has several chinchillas.
I thought he had tarantulas, you said last time.
Tarantulas and chinchillas.
Okay, let's get that straight.
We're very informative here. Animal Radio. Dr. Debbie and dog father Joey Villani answering your questions. And we'll head back to the phones in just a couple of seconds. But first, I want to visit with five Aussies who are here in the U.S. Anthony Amos is joining us. Hi, Anthony. How are you doing?
G'day, mate. How are you?
Oh, very well. Thank you very much. You're traveling across the U.S. in an RV and a hydro dog. And once again, I'll hold up the picture to the microphone so people can see this here. The hydro dog is a looks like a blue dog is what it is. You bathe dogs in it?
It's pretty cool.
It's a little grooming center. What is it? A grooming unit?
Yeah, it basically is, mate. It's a big blue dog, fiberglass dog. And inside that dog, you wash and groom a dog. And it's a mobile company that goes to your home and pretty much provides the service to groom your dog. So it obviously originated in Australia. It's basically a van with a big blue dog on the back. So it's all wrapped, and the front part looks like a dog kennel. Now the dog's sitting on the back of the transit van.
Oh, it sounds very exciting. Now, your goal is to wash 25,000 dogs in this next, 18 months? How many?
18.
18 yep. months. Okay.
18 months, that's right, yep.
And 100% of the proceeds are donated back to local shelters. God bless you. That's a lot of work for you, isn't it?
It really is, mate. I think the biggest challenge for the five of us, you know, obviously we're all Australian and we've just gone from a really nice home into a 200-square-foot place. That transition was very challenging, but now we're there, we're already around practicing being in the RV, and what we know is if we get to the local shelters, we've got a massive campaign with great PR behind us, and that particular day itself, we make it very aware to the community. We get out there and wash all the dogs ourselves. We turn it into a big festival, like a big day where people come down and spend money on items and what have you. And all of that money, like we're going to charge $20 a dog to have the dog washed, and all that money will be handed over to those shelters on that day for them to work. But we didn't want to get caught up in the whole, the charitable aspect where we take the money and write a check and all that. We just want to come in, make it a great day. We've got some great sponsors. We're going to be able to promote our businesses. We're going. So we thought that was, you know, more than fair to do that for them on that
sure.
day.
It's a win-win situation all around. And I got to tell you, when we first started Animal Radio, actually a couple of years into Animal Radio, we got an RV and we traveled the country and went from shelter to shelter. And I can't imagine it was just me and Judy at that time. You're traveling with four others, your family, your entire family with you there. They're all on board for this, right?
Well, it's funny you should say all on board. It was actually, you know, my wife's idea in the middle of the night because we're working out how we were going to, you know, piece this new strategy together. And she woke me up in the middle of the night. And said, oh, this sounds good. She said, no. We're doing the big blue dog. We're going to take it around America. I said, what are you talking about? She said, let's get an RV and experience America, see all the monumental places for the kids, and they can get a great learner. And all I could think about was taking a photo of the big blue dog in front of Mount Rushmore, or one of the monuments in Washington, D.C., and it started, and instantly I put it into action. We bought the RV. We've been learning to obviously maneuver it and park it and stay in the RV park so we can get ready for our trip.
Have you been trained on the dump station yet? The whole dump? That's the portion that is not so much fun.
Oh, my God. Well, I've got a 10-year-old son who is an absolute champion, and I'm taught him very, very well how to do all of that.
Oh, good. Good luck with this. It sounds like a tremendous idea. I would love to check in and see if your enthusiasm is as...
just let me tell you, mate, just having these showers early in the morning, you know, who gets in first and who gets in second, it's already started. But we've got a little routine. I think we've got to piece together a little bit more smartly than what we're doing right now.
You know what's funny is I've been talking to Anthony a while back because this is a grooming thing, and he has a hell of a lot of energy. But I feel sorry for some of the people that, you know, that after a while when this blows up, because I don't know if you guys know, I believe it, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were an ex-professional rugby player as well?
Yeah, I started my career the first 2 years straight out of high school. I played for the state and shadow for Australia, and I just came into a professional footy side for 2 years, and that's where I really thought that I was going to play my days out. But then something was missing, that, you know, sort of being told what to do in that professional area bugged me a little bit, and I wanted to start my own business, always did. And then basically what we did is we went out and bought a hydro bath, and I'm sure you know what that is, it's just a dog bath, for $1,200, stuck it in the back of a trailer in my backyard. When I say a trailer, like a garden trailer, rented a mobile phone, put an ad in the newspaper. And that's pretty much how our business began. I remember that Saturday morning, someone ringing up was like, hello, Hydro Dog, Anthony's saying, yes, I just read your ad in the paper for $10. Will you come and do my dog? Oh, my God, this is incredible. So by the time I got to my brother's place, we'd had 10 dogs booked in. Now, you got to remember, at 21, that's a little bit of a big deal back then. And we get to my brother's place. I said, don't forget the dog shampoo. We get to our first job, and my brother put dishwashing liquid in instead of dog shampoo.
Oh, boy.
So we washed our first 10 dogs in dishwashing liquid.
When do you leave?
We're trying to make that happen the second week in July.
Okay. We have a lot of listeners in Tampa, a couple of stations there, so we should rally all together for you is what I'm thinking.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. I think all the support we could get the first month, we're going to be in Florida. We want to iron out all the bugs, find out what's trending, what's not working.
Good luck ironing out those bugs in Florida, man. They're big there.
They're big bugs.
Yes, they are. Hey, listen, I want people to check out the website, www.bathetosave.com. Of course, links to everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.com. And we'll check in with you once again, Anthony. Please give a hug to all of your family.
Don't forget you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Download it now. It's made possible by Fear-Free Happy Homes, helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com.
Another party animal on Animal Radio. I'm your party animal, Vinny Penn. A friend of mine calls me up over the weekend and said he's been seeing a new girl. And he says, you know, we were having a great time. I was actually over her house. She's a mom. And he was playing Yankees Monopoly. And I said, oh, you're getting pretty deep in, my man. You're hanging out. It's the mother. It's the daughter. You're playing board games. You're getting knee deep in there. And he goes, well, I don't know how much more. And I said, well, why? He said, well, she put her daughter to bed. And we were sitting there talking. Nice New England fire roaring, a very Norman Rockwell scenario, I would imagine. And he said, and I had to find a genteel way to just say to her, hey, FYI, there's half a mouse and some vomit on your floor. And she said, excuse me? This is him telling me. She said, excuse me? And he goes, yeah, just, you know, if you were going to go in the kitchen and get a refresher glass of wine or anything, there's half a mouse and some vomit on your floor. He proceeds to tell me, and she's, oh, she gets up, she goes, she has three cats who are just always running into the house with either a bird wing still flapping in its mouth or what's left of a mouse, and they typically then proceed to vomit. And he's like, well, bye-bye. Yet another case of multiple cats equals single forever. It could even explain the divorce and her being a single mom. I remember there was a girl that I dated many, many years ago. One time, same thing happened. Just sitting around the house. This is when we were kids. That's why I say many, many, many years ago. And her cat just came walking in, you know, with a bird. It looked like it was fresh from the cat Burger King. It had ketchup all over its face. And yet it wasn't ketchup. It was bird blood. Three savage cats leaving the remains of a mouse around the house may equal Eleanor Rigby. Vinny Penn, party animal, Animal Radio.
I am the family dog, and it's that time of year again. The one where pet parents start looking for Fido-friendly hotels and destinations where Fido is welcome. Make no bones about it. Pets are part of the family, and we like to sniff out new places too, and we hate to be turned away, especially when we're on our best behavior. So we won't be left out in the cold. Be sure to pick up a copy of Fido Friendly Magazine to find the best hotels and destinations where Fido is always welcome. Go online to FidoFriendly.com and subscribe today.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
You can ask your questions via email or through the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. We got one from Emilio. She's our friend in Mexico. She sent us an email through the app and she writes, Dear Dr. White. Do you know? I don't know who Dr. White is.
I have many aliases. Yes.
Dr. Debbie's. One of my friend's dogs, who is 15 years old, and he's really bad in his joints. But about 2 months ago, he's been suffering from seizures about four times. He would start doing this routine every day in the morning, sometimes in the evening, too. He'd go round and round for 2 or 3 hours, sometimes just like he's following a spiral, and then he'll fall down. The vet here says it's something to do with his brain, but they don't really know what it can be. And they do prescribe him phenobarbital, but that keeps him sleeping most of the time. Can you give me your opinion about this?
Well, I mean, we do have an older pet, and we have two neurologic symptoms that are quite serious going on. The seizuring, also the circling. And circling for a duration of 2 to 3 hours is clearly abnormal. What would be interesting is whether or not the spinning, if that diminishes when we're on phenobarbital. The tough thing is, yeah, I would agree. This is probably something going on in the brain. And typically, we kind of just generally classify as tumors. With a dog of this age and those symptoms, something is causing very erratic neurologic symptoms. So if the phenobarbital is helping diminish the circling, then some degree of sedation may be necessary. There are other anti-seizure medicines we can kind of play around with and alter and maybe find a regimen that might be less sedative in nature. And I'm not sure what capacity of treatment they have, where they're at, or how much they want to get into, but we certainly can do imaging on the brain to better identify that. either by an MRI or a CT scan. And there, outside of surgery, there actually is radiation therapy we do do on brain tumors in dogs, and that can be helpful in kind of limiting the symptoms as well as giving more longevity. But, you know, 15 years old, I think we just have to kind of look at quality of life overall and, yeah. and where these people, you know, really might want to go.
So is the circling part of a seizure, or is that, you say it's completely unrelated or different?
Well, it can be different. And what we often see with older pets is they'll have these almost anxious-like circling behaviors where they just spin themselves continually. So it isn't necessarily a seizure, but it's a kind of a repetitive type behavior that can happen. Now, and I'm assuming, you know, when we have this kind of thing, we always look at the ears and make sure there's nothing in her ear, but that typically, this little guy, I really do worry he has some kind of brain lesion there.
There you go. Hopefully that answers some questions for you, Emilio. You remember, you can ask your questions directly from the Animal Radio app or email them to us here at Animal Radio. And what do you say we go to Roland? Hey, Roland, how are you doing?
Okay, thank you.
Where are you calling from today?
Reading, Pennsylvania.
Beautiful Reading. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a little bit of a problem with my dog. She's 4 years old. She's a combination of poodle, Eskimo, and golden retriever.
Wow.
And
the problem I'm having with her is I can't get her to walk where I want to go. I have to go where she wants to go.
Oh, okay.
Now, let me give you some background, if you don't mind. About 6 months ago, my doctors asked me to go ahead and do some walking. So I found a one-mile route that I started taking. And at first, she was very willing to go with me. And I had her on a leash. And then about 2 months later, she started hesitating. She didn't want to go where I wanted to go. So I would try tugging her a little bit, and she'd slip out of her collar. So I decided I'd get a harness. So I got a harness, and that helped for a while. Then all of a sudden, about 2 months ago, she's hesitating again. She doesn't want to go where I want to go. She wants to take me for a walk. Then this particular month, she doesn't even want to leave the driveway of the house.
This kind of troubles me, Roland, because I'm going to say you've been to the doctor for your medical things. This really worries me because a change in behavior where a dog is reluctant to walk at all, not just being mischievous and not just saying I have a mind of my own and I want to go somewhere else, but I don't want to get out of the yard and step out into the street and go to the park. That's not a normal behavior pattern from her previous. So that really has me concerned. So I would say first go to the vet and get her evaluated.
Right.
We can have all gamuts of different things that can be causing either pain, weakness, hormone problems. So that is really the number one thing that I would encourage you to do.
Yes.
If the doctor comes back and says, hey, everything's fine, I've checked her out, I did some blood work, there's nothing going on, this is a behavioral thing, then there's a couple things I would do. You may want to look at getting a head harness, kind of like the similar to what horses wear when they wear a bridle.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one method that we can use to direct a dog's movement without having to do big corrections or worry so much about yanking and pulling, because it self-corrects them. They don't like their nose going in the wrong way.
Right,
gently corrects them just kind of using pressure points on their face.
Oh, okay.
So the other thing is bribery. Bribery works with dogs.
Well, I tried giving her a treat when she wouldn't move. She wouldn't take the treat.
Well, that's a serious problem, and that kind of goes back to my first thought that, you know, this may be something of a medical need. But generally, if you pull out a treat, and if it's not the everyday treat, not the milk bone, it's not the treat that you have on the counter that she always gets.
This is a special treat, right?
Yeah, so it may be a little piece of cheese. It may be a little bite of Braunschweiger. It may be something that's just really yummy and out of the norm. And then you use that and pair that with your command of come or heel, and then you reward her. And you may only do that for 2 minutes, and that's it. And then you go back to the house. But, I'm going to say, you know, I really think we ought to get this baby checked out, make sure she's in good sound health and that we're not missing something else going on.
I'm going to do that. Yes, I'll take it. I'll make an appointment with the vet. Well, thank you very much for your advice. I appreciate that.
Thanks for listening to Animal Radio. Tell a friend.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Thousands of authors across the country have written books and published them with Page Publishing. If you've written a book, they can help you through the process, cut through the confusion of the publishing world to make it easy for you. If they decide to publish your book, your work ends, theirs begins. From copy editing and proofing to typesetting and book cover art. Plus, get your book printed, distributed, and sold on Amazon, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, and in bookstores across the country. They even help promote your book. Biography, self-help, mystery, novels, sci-fi, or even a children's book. No matter what genre, Page Publishing can bring your book to life. And don't forget to ask about audiobooks. We do all of this for you. Call today for your free writer's guide packed with tips, tricks, and templates to help you finish what you started.
800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. That's 800-215-6815.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
It's toll free to Dr. Debbie, your dog father, Joey Villani, from the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. In fact, I see Joey's asking himself some questions right now. He downloaded the app and he's actually writing to himself.
Yes, right, I am.
So we'll go to the phones in just a couple of seconds here. Judy just brought me this story out of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And you know, you think of firefighters as being heroic. Mm-hmm. And keeping us, the women and children, out of harm.
Safe. Yes, coming to our rescue.
Firefighters were too big to rescue a kitten from a storm drain in south central Pennsylvania.
How big were they?
Too big, apparently. Lancaster Township firefighters responded when a six-year-old girl and her friends saw the trapped kitten. The girl's mother called 911 and then gave firefighters permission to lower her kindergartner, that's how old you are when you're six, nearly 3 feet down into the storm drain, which was too big for the firefighters, to get the kitten
that
was stuck down
there. That's a brave little girl.
Yeah, that's a brave little girl and a gutsy mom.
To let her daughter do that.
It all worked out, thankfully.
Good.
And in fact, the fire department's promoting it on their Facebook page. Cool little story.
They saved the kitten.
Now let's head to the newsroom where we got the real news brewing. And Lori Brooks, what are you working on?
This isn't breaking news, but I have spent more time than I care to admit on this one. And that is trying to figure out the best fabric for your next sofa for you as the pet lover.
That's important.
That's actually
I
a good
do that
one,
when
yes.
I go shopping for sofas. Yep. I make sure. I've learned over the years.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to consider. So I did some research on kinds of fabric and different patterns and things like that are good for we pet people.
Yeah. Yep. I walk into the store and I immediately say, do you have any fabrics that match cat vomit? Because that would be the fabric I would go for.
A little hairball fabric.
I walk into the store and I say, do you got a patch kit that goes with the couch?
Yours is all torn up, isn't it?
Listen, I got 4 Karen Terriers and an umbrella cockatoo. What do you think? I mean, it's brand new. The next day, it's old.
You walk into any pet lover's house, and you'll see the...
You usually see the comforter that's thrown over the couch.
Yes, to cover it. Let you know what's underneath. Oh, hey, we just got this email. This is cool. I wanted to share this with you. This was actually addressed to Dr. Debbie. Kelly writes, I just want to let you know that your show has helped me so much. I had a loud, rambunctious black and tan coonhound mix for 7 years. I could not get him under control, not with Caesar Milan, of course.
Yes.
Not with any advice. I started listening to your show last week and heard you repeatedly talking about redirection instead of punishment or yelling or treating at the wrong time. And the difference in him is like a whole new dog already. Amazing. Thank you so much for all you do, and your show has helped us so much. Yeah, we're a big proponent of treating your animals when they do good instead of punishing them.
Punishment doesn't work. You just got to redirect their bad behavior into good behavior that you want.
I like to say make it easy for them to do the right thing or the good thing.
Absolutely.
You got to set them up to do the right thing.
You do that with me, and you've trained me very well.
Yes, I've set you up to do the right thing.
You actually have me clicker trained, don't you?
Yep. Good boy.
Oh, sit down, Hal.
Can you give me paw?
Hi, Sandy.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm the grandmother of this puppy, and I have to dog sit for 2 weeks, so I need some help.
Okay.
Okay.
We have a 2.5-year-old lab mix. I think he's lab and perhaps some pit. He looks an awful lot just like a lab. was a pound puppy. Great, wonderful dog, but he has this habit of running outside and running to a particular tree in the backyard and eating all the bark off of it as high as he can reach. Ooh. And it is very much, we think, an attention-getting behavior, but
okay.
it's just immediate. And they've just purchased a new home, and he's already got one tree in the backyard destroyed, and then in a rental house where they were before, he did the very same thing. So he
okay.
just takes the biggest tree, and he runs to it, and he reaches up and just starts gnawing on the tree.
That is crazy. I can just kind of picture one of my dear Labradors doing that same thing.
Well, have you got any suggestions?
Yeah, I sure do. And they're not going to be easy fixes. That's the thing I'll start with, is that it certainly very well could be that this is an attention-seeking behavior, especially if, you know, when you notice it, the arms go up and you go, hey, what are you doing? Stop it!
That does happen, and he wants to make sure you've seen him do it, because he'll turn around and look and make sure somebody's looking.
Oh, sure. It's a game then. That can be at least part of his trigger for that. And that's hard, because we don't want him to do that. The instinct is to correct them when they do this. But the root of the problem is that we got to get back to the square one. One is we have to decrease his access to this tree or to any favored tree that he might do this to. And the other thing is, we've got to get his activity level up. We've got to get him tired. We've got to get him mentally stimulated. Dogs who do this type of behavior, whether it's chewing a tree or chewing your baseboards, your drywall, they are bored. And as much as we would like to think that we are the end and the be-all of their world, they can do so much more. And that may be things like sporting events, get them out running, get on a bicycle, have them follow along with you. We've got to get this guy tired. Okay. A sleepy or tired dog will be less apt to be destructive and to have these kind of behaviors. So that's definitely one of the biggest things.
Okay.
Decreasing the opportunity is going to be a couple different ways that we can do that. If he's going outdoors to do his business, we can do that by, instead of letting him have free rein, take him out on leash. Take him out and actually supervise his activities outside. If he's left to his own devices, that's our mistake. That's not his mistake. So then we have to take back that access and control. Now, if that's not possible all the time, there may be ways to do fencing or even invisible fencing, which can be very helpful, especially people in rural areas where it's very hard to kind of keep a dog from accessing certain areas. And many dogs will respond very well to that.
Okay. Backyard is fenced in, but it's not very big. So you're thinking maybe putting a fencing around the tree or something just so he can't get at it?
That's one thing. The other would be to use invisible fencing, which is basically it's a whole kind of apparatus you can have installed where if there's an area, a zone in the yard where you don't want a dog to go. And sometimes we use this for fence jumpers. So you put the invisible fence line up in front of the fence or the wall so that the dog doesn't get close to that. And then when they get close, they get an audio stimulation. If they don't, then they can get a zap. And it's not for every situation, but for dogs that we just have no other way to control their access, then we can move to this. But my first choice is always just to go with the human control. It's not a replacement for us being lazy. We should really take control of the dog first and foremost and control their comings and goings. Right. And then the other thing is that we want to definitely give a lot of opportunity for the oral outlet, for that chewing need. And can't do it by itself, but add that into this whole mix of things. So we offer food that he has to kind of work for. Those little busy cubes where you can hide dog food in them or treats and make him work for his food so that he's not working to chew on some other inanimate object.
Okay.
Many people will also kind of put the food in the yard and separate the feeding several times a day and kind of let them kind of work for their food in that way. So you got a lot of work here. That's the challenge with it. But you can definitely get to the bottom of this. The really big point is that there's no easy way out. And it's got to be a concerted effort with everyone in the house to make sure we're supervising this young buck.
We're all with you, Sandy.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, it's Alan Cable. Got an email from a listener. How do I stop my dog from jumping on people? That's a pretty common problem. Chances are you're unwittingly rewarding your dog for jumping on you. I was at the dog park the other day. There was a nice lady there. We got into a conversation. She kept going, go ahead, play, come on, to her dog. And I finally said, your dog is playing. Every time you say that, you're confusing him because he runs over and jumps on you. He's already doing what you want and doesn't know what you want him to do. He's going to play on his own. All you have to do is stand there. And he really doesn't understand what you're saying. It was interesting for me. I could see the confusion in her dog, but she couldn't. He was already playing with another dog. And every time she started saying this stuff, he stopped to run over and jump on her. Dogs don't understand your sentences. They do get your tone, though, whether you're in a good mood or a bad mood. So when the dog was jumping on her, she was getting more excited with her voice, but shooing him away with her hands. So he's confused. It's just all confusing. I'm confused. Anyway, if your dog is jumping on you and other people, especially when you're greeting him, don't speak to him in a positive manner. Make sure there are no rewards for your dog when he's jumping on you or other people. Even dog lovers who tell you they don't mind your dog's jumping, tell them no. Dogs can't distinguish between, oh, I can jump on him, but I can't jump on her. It's either all or nothing with a dog. He can either jump on everybody or nobody. We always talk about setting your dog up for success, so think about how you'd be setting your dog up for failure if you scolded him for jumping on one person, but rewarded him for jumping on you or another. Wouldn't that be unfair and confusing and create anxiety in you if you were that dog? Well, that's what it does. So if your dog jumps on you when you get home, make it a non-event. Don't talk to your dog. Don't greet him for about 15 minutes after you get home. This will make your dog calmer, less anxious. Then when you do say hi, bend over and pet him at his level. This way he doesn't have to jump on you. And finally, teach your dog the sit and off commands. You do this by correcting your dog quickly and sternly when he jumps on you. And then when he sits, you tell him he's a good dog.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
Have you ever been frustrated while trying to take a picture of your pet? They're sitting there looking so cute. You pick up your camera and they run away, jump out of the frame, or try to play with you, or maybe even attack the camera. Pet photographer Ian White suggests choosing a background that works well with your pet. For example, if you have a black lab, he'll show up better on a light-colored blanket. Pets model the best when they're a little tired and after a meal. Let them fall asleep on the selected background and then alert them with a treat or a squeaky toy. Be ready with that camera. Try to take the photo from eye level, which may mean lying on your stomach or having your pet up on a bed or furniture. Good luck. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
Hey, this is Paula Poundstone. Wait, I forget where I am.
Animal Radio.
Animal Radio. I love that. All right. Hey, this is Paula Poundstone on Animal Radio. Spay and neuter your pets or we're going to be eaten alive.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. That's 800-689-0143.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
What are you pointing at?
The dog. I don't want the dog to escape.
Don't want me to step on the dog there? Yeah. The studio dog. Who would want to do that?
Here, I'll close the door.
Close the door so she doesn't escape. Thank
Stop
you.
Stop this multi-million-dollar
show. You guys. You just put her out in the hall with Dolly.
Is that wrong? They'll have fun out there. They will. Okay. What are you working on anyway this hour?
We're going to find out what the latest is on Archie the Toothless Black Bear in Ohio.
I heard about that bear. Now, this bear has been living at for like a long time with the owners. It's like a pet bear. Is that correct?
Yeah, and they did it. There was a technicality. The state wanted this, and they hadn't complied with that soon enough. And so now the fate of Archie, the 41-year-old toothless black bear, hangs in the balance because of, you know, what's best for Archie and what the state says. This is the law. So I'll give you the latest on that.
That's on the way right here on Animal Radio. Let's hit the phones right now for your calls. Hey, Debbie.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question for Dr. Debbie.
Okay.
Just to give you a little brief history, I have an 8-year-old pure black shepherd named Z. She was, since she's been spayed, she's been a very picky eater. She looks at food as if it's poison at time, even if it's a steak. Recently, within the last 5 months, I've been separated and she's been back and forth. And in that duration, about a month ago, she had to have a toe removed due to cancer.
Okay.
And now I notice she's becoming very nervous. Obviously, then the eating situation has gotten even worse. So I'm asking your advice on, even if I cook food for her, I have to hand feed her and forget mixing dog food with her. And I'm concerned for her health at this point. So any suggestions on how to get her to eat or just go cold turkey and go back to dog food?
Well, I guess you mentioned that she's a bit anxious now. Has she always been an anxious dog?
Not as bad as she is now. Like where I'm staying right now, there's a yard, and she loves being outside, and I can't get her to go out there unless I go out with her. You know, she's jumping at every little wind that blows and branch that falls. And so I think it has to do with the situation, you know, on top of her being sick and back and forth to the vet for the last 2 months. So.
Oh, yeah. Now, I guess, you know, whatever it takes for her to eat as she's recuperating from an illness, those situations, I'm pretty liberal. And, you know, we have to feed the body. So, you know, if the appetite is off because we're on medication or we're recovering from an illness, you know, first and foremost, we want to feed the pet. And then if we're established and we're in a healthy body state, then we can talk about playing a little tough love and, you know, whether or not we need to focus on just getting onto a dog food or just entertaining her appetite quirks, if you will.
I don't mind cooking for her, but how do I know what is an appropriate balanced meal, I guess?
You won't, and that's the problem. Is that even myself, I can't tell you how much chicken to mix with rice to add a supplement. It is a very complicated thing as far as creating a balanced diet. Now, a lot of people can say they cook for their dogs, but is it really balanced? And that's really for a veterinary nutritionist to say. So I guess my first concern is, you said she had some bone cancer in her toe. I would want to make sure we really have a clean bill of health and that everything is okay, because some different types...
They felt they got the whole thing, that it was, they felt they got the whole tumor, that it was confined.
Okay. And, you know, there are some varieties of bony tumors that can spread. So, you know, it's always a wise thing to check chest x-rays, make sure we're really good all the way around. And if we are, and she's being fussy, you know, I would still like to see you get some kind of a dog food in her. If she's opposed to that and she would prefer human variety foods, then I kind of go meet them halfway. And I will go for a gravy style or a stew style. Things that look like human food, smell like human food, but yet we know are balanced for dogs. That, for me, is the best accommodation that I can make for a dog that prefers human food. If she continues to still not eat for you, I'm still going to be concerned that there might not be something right in her medical world. And that will be my first thought that I'm going to go back to. Now, if she's always been an anxious dog and hasn't eaten well, you know, we can talk about behavior medicines, things to help calm her, and that might also help
anxious,
her appetite.
But she's always been a fussy eater. I mean, she looks at food sometimes like we're poisoning her, you know. She turns her nose up to it. It's amazing.
And what's her body condition? Is she healthy weight, a little on the pudgy side, skinny?
She's healthy weight. She's 80 pounds. She seems the best. Okay. Seems very healthy. You know, feel good. Her coat's nice, and you know. So as far as that, it's okay.
I'm going to say that I'm going to encourage you to kind of try to find something in the stew varieties, and you know, there's a lot of basic ones over there. I know that I'm not sure if Spot Stew is still out there, but there's a lot of good ones out at the pet store that you can go with, and try to use that. If she doesn't eat, and we think she is healthy and that she is cancer-free, then if she doesn't eat for the day, I'm not going to panic. Now, if you want to try doing some home cooking, a good resource to look into is actually, there's a book by a doctor, Dr. Strombach, and it's the Home Prepared Dog and Cat Diets, and it gives you more specific guidance on amounts, different ingredients, and then different health conditions that we might need to feed for. So that might be a resource to check out there, Debbie, and see if you want to go that route.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much. Okay. And what do you think about the situation? You think back and forth is okay for dogs? I know kids do it, so.
Yeah, you know, as far as with the divorce situation, right?
Yeah.
Okay. In many cases, it is fine. I have had dogs where this is a big upset for them, that it takes them a while to readjust to the change from going from one house to household to the other. But I've had other pets where it works perfectly fine. So if it does seem that her appetite is really bad after the immediate transition going back and forth, then it might look to maybe make an agreement where either she can stay at one residence longer or that we make a choice for the pet's best interest. So I have had that happen before, and I actually got in the middle of a divorce proceeding because I had to kind of counsel and help the dog get through some of the problems she had. And so I always say, what is best for the dog? So if you need to make that call, then got to do it.
Thanks for your call, Debbie.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. That's 800-689-0143.
I shouldn't have put Merlot in my coffee.
Oh, that does it every time? Yes. Dang it.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
Hi, I'm Lori Brooks. As an animal lover, I have done this, and I'm sure you have too. You spent hours and hours contemplating the fabric of your next living room sofa or the next sofa for the family room. So we're going to help you with that right now. Consider how maybe a dog or a cat's hair will show up on the upholstery as well as whether it might embed itself in the weed of a fabric that you might choose. And that would make it really difficult to clean. Well, how the fabric also will react to dog nails, cat clawing. And you will want to make sure that you choose a fabric that is fairly easy to clean off, you know, drill marks and paw prints. So here is a few good rules to follow. Now, pattern is definitely something you want. It's better than a solid fabric. You want something with a pattern, but not a tweedy texture. Okay. Fabrics with patterns, they say, are a good option to consider for hiding evidence of pet hair. And patterns can also help to camouflage the hair as well as marks or stains. And that works especially well if a predominant color in the pattern and the pet hairs are similar. So if you have a black dog or a black cat, you're going to want a pattern that is mostly a black color for your new sofa or your sofa to be. And, you know, it's tempting to go with those tweedy kind of fabrics. It'll kind of camouflage pet hair a bit. But also, did you know that the weave can allow pet hair to become wedged in the fibers? And that makes it difficult to clean, retain an odor, which is something we don't really want. In Ohio, a judge there has dismissed a civil case by a couple who say they want to keep their toothless 41-year-old black bear pet, despite not getting a required permit that the state wanted them to have. The couple says that the caged male bear they have, Archie, that Archie is old and he is unlikely to escape, and they said they weren't adequately notified about the law and that moving or tranquilizing Archie, would threaten his life. Their attorney says he remains hopeful about reaching a compromise so that the couple can keep Archie. The Ohio Department of Agriculture, though, says the couple's permit application was submitted back in February and that the bear wasn't registered or even microchipped, as bears, I guess, are supposed to be if you're going to keep them as a pet in Ohio. I'm Lori Brooks. Be sure to get more breaking animal news anytime you want it at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
This is
Animal Radio, baby.
It's Animal Radio. We're celebrating our connection with our pets. We're going to visit with Dr. Roger Mugford, and we usually visit with him in the UK. Today, he's on the road. If you're brand new to Animal Radio, he is, of course, the founding top dog at the Animal Behavior Center and also with Company of Animals, and he invented the Haltie. You know the Haltie? The Haltie collar?
Yes.
This guy invented it. So today we're Skyping with him in, where are you?
Cape Town, South Africa.
Cape Town, yeah. South wow. Africa. What wow. brings you there? Is that business?
Well, it is, because there's a lot of dogs in South Africa, a lot of really nice people. Of course, it's a very diverse nation. Pet ownership is as popular in the poorest people in the townships as in the, I have to say, tend to be white people in the city like Durban, Cape Town and Johannesburg. But, you know, things are moving on in this country. The Nelson Mandela inheritance is alive and well, and it's just a happy place to be.
Is there a homeless problem with the animals there as there is in the United States?
Oh, enormously so. In urban townships like Soweto that we've all heard about, there's so much poverty. And, yeah, the poverty affects the animals. The quality of life of the people is directly affected in the prospects for, well, not just dogs and cats that we think of, but also animals that are used for carting stuff around, like donkeys and horses. They're also animals in need, if you like. So I've had my heart touched many times in this visit to South Africa by the kindness of people to one another and the optimism of the country, but also their attitude towards animals, which is, generally speaking, very kind.
Oh, that's good to hear. Well, I wanted to get you on Skype today because Judy is training Ladybug, the studio stunt dog, and she's using some of the tools that you were kind enough to send us. And we're just amazed at how many new things there are compared to 20 years ago. You have, like in my hands, I have one of the clickers here, which has two volumes, which I think is pretty cool. What would be the purpose of having a two-volume clicker? Is that to train two different?
It's not two different dogs, but dogs differ so much in their oral sensitivity and the hearing sensitivity. For instance, breeds like Cocker Spaniels and Border Collies are very sound sensitive. You know, less is usually better. Whereas other breeds, dare I say, thick-skulled breeds like Labradors and Boxers, you've got to really shout at them to get them small. But if you know what I mean, dogs differ in their hearing sensitivity by breed, by size. Usually the smaller the dog, the better the hearing sensitivity. So we naturally don't want to frighten dogs, especially puppies, when they're first exposed to a clicker. Clickers, of course, are always associated with a payoff, with a reward. And once they realize that a clicker is something, oh, I'm doing the right thing, then in future, that clicker can be paired to be associated with the dog performing something that you wanted him to do, to lie down, to stay, to retrieve an object, or who knows what, to do incredible things like dancing heel work to music, which is the big fad at the moment on both sides of the Atlantic.
Dancing
with your dog.
Yeah, that's right. Instead of people dancing, well, they obviously the dog owner dances, but does incredible acrobatic things with the dog. The dog participates, and it is all in time to, could be heavy metal rock or something more scenic and more melodic. In the UK, on Saturday night, there's a really big competition for Britain's Got Talent. I think there's a US show that is,
yes.
America's Got Talent. And it was won, guess what, by a dog. And a dog, and it's a very talented owner trainer. And she was using all of these basic reward-based techniques, and especially linked to a clicker trainer.
Oh, that's cool to hear. Of course, we have America's Got Talent here, and we've had two seasons where dogs have been winners.
Yeah, that's awesome.
On the show.
Well, good.
Included with the clicker is a little pamphlet. It's actually not that little. It's a very in-depth pamphlet at how to train your dog with the clicker to go down or to walk on a loose lead or to recall or to spin or to take a bow. All of these things. Do you have to have a smart dog for that?
No. We've tried to make all aspects of training and control, of course, of dogs easy, simple, and dare I say, you know, idiot-proof. And I've written these instructions, these manuals that go along with the product because we want people to know the best way of doing it. And, of course, they can also go online and see it on our websites. But the knowledge is really the key to the use of things like whistles and clickers and other things in the Clicks range of products. So just going out and buying it isn't going to solve or create new behaviors, but knowledge is, and effort and energy and intelligence by the owner is going to achieve sure. great things.
Well, these are just tools. That's all. They're not going to solve any problems. You got to learn how to use them and yeah. use them properly. The whistle, I'm really intrigued by the whistle. Now, I don't have one here in studio, but you have one down there that you brought along with you. You must be fun going through customs with all your,
your toys.
Tell us a little bit about the whistle. And I understand there's a silent whistle on that. Is that a whistle that only dogs will hear?
If you listen carefully, you'll be able to hear a silent whistle. Now, listen. Did you hear that? That was a silent whistle.
I heard the silence.
It's a very high frequency output whistle that a dog can hear.
Now, would dogs all over the country right now, are their ears going up when you do that?
Well, I'm afraid that these sorts of high-frequency and indeed low-frequency rumbles, the sort that elephants make when they talk to one another across a safari, these are not transmitted on Skype, let alone any normal sort of electronic medium.
Sure.
So they get corrupted by technology. And that's a two-tone whistle.
Okay.
And, of course, there are two signals there. And those signals can be used as in training sheepdogs. You've all seen one man and his dog, sheepdog, working away.
This is all great stuff. I encourage listeners to look at companyofanimals.us. And you know what? I'm going to give out one of each of these in the Clicks range right now for downloading the Animal Radio app. So if you haven't done that yet, go ahead and download the app. companyofanimals.us, Dr. Roger Mugford.
Hey, it's Vinnie Penn, your party animal, coming at you on Animal Radio. You know one saying that I've got to tell you, it may be true, it may not be true, but even if this is true, which I would really find that hard to believe, I'm sick of hearing it. And that's the saying, hey, dogs' mouths are cleaner than humans. My two beloved dogs, you know, I always gave them kisses on the head, playing with their ears and them. I never really did. I'm going to come right out and say it, you know. The French kiss with my dog or the full-on their tongue lapping at my lips kiss. I never really did that. When I see people doing that, I'm always just, especially after you've just seen the dog in particular, spend a good 20 minutes giving himself, quite frankly, I'll come right out and say it, a genital bath. And the person says, oh, come on, you know, the dog's mouths are cleaner than humans. I'm finding it hard to believe. Is there doggy scope? Can I go to a pet's? I haven't been in a while. Is there doggy scope? Is there doggy floss? I know my two dogs didn't get up in the morning and brush their teeth. So how is it possible that this dog who just ate a lizard, lapped at his own crotch region, maybe even ate his own feces or licked another dog's butt. His mouth is really cleaner than your own, you're saying. If that's the case, then might I suggest you just have all of your teeth and your gums removed. Just stitch your mouth up, because if your dog's mouth is cleaner than yours, then yours should never be allowed to be open again. Vinnie Penn, Party Animal, on Animal Radio.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline. hotline right now, we guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. That's 800-475-3351.
Hi, this is NASCAR driver Corey Joyce on Animal Radio and spay and neuter your pets.
What's up, everybody? My name is George Lopez. I don't know how I became a crazy dog person, but I rescued Chihuahuas. Yeah, they rescued me from probably getting remarried. Come on. You know, these dogs are incredibly helpful to all of our lives, and I think that's what it's all about. I'm glad they can't talk, though, because I don't need to have anybody know how many times I come down in the middle of the night for something to eat.
Please, always adopt dogs. Never buy them. And always spay or neuter.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Let's visit with Carrie. Carrie Lamar. Hi, Carrie. How are you?
Hi, Hal. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm awesome. You know what? You did something in 2013 that I wanted to share with listeners. It's a cool story. About a year ago, maybe less than a year ago, we had a guy on who rescued a dog that was thrown out of a car in the middle of traffic on the 405 in Los Angeles, kind of a big highway.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw this story. You rescued a cat, sort of a similar story. You were driving along and all of a sudden you saw a cat fly by your window?
I did. I was driving to Los Angeles, ironically, to pick up a stray dog that I had found the day prior, and someone agreed to hold for me overnight. And I was driving down the 60 freeway. I was in the fast lane. And all of a sudden, what appeared to be a tiny kitten went flying past my windshield. So I pulled over next to the center divider, and I got out of my car to look for him. I walked quite a distance, and I was starting to wonder if there really was a kitten. And then about that time, I looked over the center divider, and I found him on the other side of the freeway. I was so worried that he would run into traffic.
Sure.
So I climbed over the center divider, wondering what people must have been thinking. Cars were honking. It was just
wow.
it was surreal. And I was so afraid that he would run as soon as I tried to grab him. But I took a deep breath, and I reached down, and fortunately I was able to grab him. And so we climbed back over the other side, and he was pretty traumatized. He was biting me, and I said, "It's okay, little fella, just keep biting, but I'm not going to let you go." So, it was very frightening. I get chills because I just think about what could have happened to him. And
sure. Where do you think he came from?
Somebody had to have thrown him from the car over to my right, and I didn't see the car. I just saw the kitten flying. And
jeez.
I know, and you know, it's weird when I think back in retrospect. It seems like it was in slow motion. I just saw this kitten tumbling through the air, and so unfortunately, I didn't get a look at the car because it just happened so quickly.
And most people would have just kept on driving, thinking, "I really didn't see that." You know, traffic. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, I just, you know, it all happened so quickly, and I just thought I couldn't live with myself if I just kept going, so I had to at least try, and I'm so grateful that it worked out the way it did.
Do you know the status of the cat right now?
I do. I actually got him into the vet immediately, and he, fortunately, he only had some abrasions, some minor abrasions, and he was pretty traumatized from the ordeal, so he stayed at my vet's office for a few days, and one of my dearest friends adopted him.
Oh, so do you get to see him?
I do.
Does he still bite you?
No, he's a very sweet cat. It did take him a while to adjust, though. He would hiss when people came near him, but boy, he's just turned out to be the most lovely cat. So
that's a wild story. Now, you also do a little rescue on the side, don't you?
I do.
Tell us about that.
Well, I started my nonprofit animal rescue about a year and a half ago. I had been volunteering in rescue for 5 or 6 years and just decided that it was time to start my own rescue, and it's been an incredible experience. We've fostered around 50 dogs. We transport, we network, we pull dogs from the shelter, and we help the strays in our community, and we help owner surrenders when they can no longer keep their animals. We help rehome them. So it's
a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and it's heartbreaking, but it's also the most joy that I've ever felt in my life.
Check out Carrie's website, kissesandpaws.com. Kissesandpaws.com. Of course, we'll put links to everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.com. And you are our hero, and not only our hero, but you're our final hero.
We've finished up our season.
For the last 26 weeks, we've been featuring people that go above and beyond the call of duty and taking care of animals. We've had some wonderful, wonderful people on the last 26 weeks.
Some young children.
And I couldn't think of a better way to end than with Carrie Lamar right here on Animal Radio. Carrie, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm truly honored. Thank you so much for including me.
Of course. Be well. And check out Carrie's website, kissesandpaws.com. It has once again flown right by. Thank you so much for joining us today. Remember, you can get your Animal Radio fix over at animalradio.com and download the Animal Radio app. It's just been updated today. Brand new release of it. You'll want to check it out for your iPhone and for Android. You can actually ask your questions. Well, you could always ask your questions directly from the app, but now there's lots more resources over there. Also, check out Dr. Debbie's books, Yorkshire Terriers, Shih Tzus, Pugs, Mini Schnauzers, How to Be Your Dog's Best Friend. They're over at Amazon. They're Kindle books, and you can learn more over at animalradio.com. Next week, we have Mayim Bialik. Is that how you pronounce her last name?
I have no clue.
I think it's Bialik.
Bialik? Okay, that shows you how unhip I am.
Yeah, that wasn't even close.
Yeah.
You'll know her best as Blossom.
Yes. I remember that.
Oh,
show.
Okay.
And she's on The Big Bang Theory. Did you know she holds a PhD in neuroscience? She's a one smart lady. She was also in Curb Your Enthusiasm, MacGyver, Murphy Brown, Doogie Howser, and now she's helping a bunch of the animals. We're going to find out. She'll be here next week right here on Animal Radio, so join us for that. Have a great one.
Guess what I'm doing.
What? What are you doing?
I'm updating my Animal Radio app.
Right now? As we speak.
Right now as we speak, yes.
So go do it, just like Joey, and have yourself a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Animal Radio Network.